back. In Numbers, getting ready to start chapter 4. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast today, and he had Cat Williams on there. I think it was today. I saw it on YouTube today anyway, so I'm not sure if the episode was from yesterday or if it was from today, but they were talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. A lot of it I didn't even agree with. It kind of blew my mind to hear Cat Williams saying some of the things he was saying, but whatever, that's, you know, to each their own. But one of the things that they were touching on, they were talking about a lot of the Bible stuff. Cat Williams seems to know a lot of the Bible. But they didn't necessarily go into simulation theory, but they were talking about the, you know, creation in the beginning, that there was light, and they were just kind of throwing around a bunch of different, not really ideas, just, God, how do you say it? Like, they were using their conversation to kind of lean it towards a bunch of different directions or theories without actually going into them or even saying most of them. Which some of it was a very clever conversation. I'm glad that I watched it, because I might have missed some of what was happening if I was just listening to it, because there was a lot of different really funny eye contact between the two of them and body gesturing that they would both do at times, you know what I mean? It was weird. Anyway, what I was thinking about was with the simulation theory, how, like, if we were in a computer, if you're in a simulation, this is all being ran by a hard drive or something. And there's a way that I guess Genesis could kind of line up with that slightly. And in my mind, it's this, that a hard drive or a computer or whatever, excuse me, my nose is running. It wasn't 2 seconds ago, but anyway, the moment that you turn on a hard drive or a computer, like, the first thing that happens is, like, there's a flash of electricity through it, right? Like, the electricity comes from the outlet into the hard drive, so there's, like, a bang, or, a rush of power, usually, like, a click when the power comes on, and, like, to that little area, that might be a huge bang. I don't know. I'm just picture, like, when the electricity goes on, that being kind of like the big bang. And then usually the first thing you'll see is, like, a light come on, you know what I mean, to indicate that there's power. So let there be light. And then your computer, kind of like God did in this, you know, over the 7 days, how he just kind of, he does this and then he does this and he does that. Your computer kind of powers up in sections. It boots up in sections and till it's all up and operational. And then, you know what I mean, you're on your desktop and it is good, right? Like, I thought that was weird that those two things can kind of correlate in that sense, if you think about them in that sense, if you lean that direction with them, you can kind of muddle or overlap the one story into the other. I mean, yeah, I hope nobody ever hears this that wants to start a cult, and like, they're like, yeah, we're the sim cult. Everything, we are in a computer, this is the proof. Not that I've provided any real proof, just an idea, just a theory, you know what I mean? Like, those two things kind of operate in the same way, in the same, systematically, if you think about it, when you're telling that story and when you're just, the way that a computer turns, or a hard drive turns on. Anywho, getting back into Numbers chapter 4. Oh, I gotta move stuff around. I'm kind of moving myself towards, or leaning myself, I should say, towards the light. I got, like, a chair backwards up against a counter in the kitchen, because it's like the only thing I can do, and I can't, any other way I try to do this in the area I'm in, if I sit down, I have to either hold the book or hold the book up or do something like that. And by doing this, I don't have to, but it leaves me like I'm half on the chair, half off the chair, and standing in funky poses. So if you hear a lot of creaking and cracking in the background, that's the old chair that I'm using. I apologize for that, but I don't really have anything that's quiet. Chapter 4. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Lift the heads of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their families, by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, All that enter upon the service to do work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, the Holy of Holies. Aaron and his son shall come in when the camp pulls out, and shall take down the veil of the hanging, and shall cover the ark of the testimony with it. And he shall put a covering of dugong skins, whatever dugong is, on it, and shall spread a garment entirely of blue on top, and shall put in its staves, it just that ends, and shall put in its staves, I don't know what that means, so, shall put in its staves, that's something that holds it, and they shall spread a blue cloth on the table of the showbread, and shall put its dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and the cups of the drink offering, and the continual bread on it. And they shall spread a cloth of scarlet over the continual bread. That's just kind of a cool statement when you think about Jesus breaking bread and like turning one loaf into thousands or whatever, or hundreds or whatever it exactly says. We'll get there, but that it's kind of, you know, continual bread. That's cool. I totally lost my spot. There we are. And they shall spread a cloth of scarlet over them and shall cover it with a covering of dugong skin and shall put it in its staves. Oh God, I already read that, didn't I? And he shall take a blue cloth and shall cover the lampstand of the lamp and its lights and its tongs and its fire pans and all of its oil vessels with which they minister to it. And they shall put it in all its vessels into a covering of dugong skin and shall put it on the bar. It just ends with on the bar immediately because I'm like a, you know, white trash American. I'm like, a bar? They're just gonna set it up there, pour a couple drinks, and take off. That's obviously not what they mean. But no, it did repeat that. There's so many things that just repeat. Like, they're so overly thorough in just repeating certain things that to me, it doesn't make sense all the way. Like, people should understand that after you fully described it the first time, but I mean, I guess it, in its way, it reminds you of exactly, like, to the specific spot of where things are and who and where things are and where they align and just, wow. It's very thorough. Put it on the bar. And they shall spread a blue cloth on the golden altar and shall cover it with a covering of dugong skin and shall put it in its staves. And they shall take all the vessels of ministry with which they minister in the sanctuary, and shall put them into a blue cloth, and shall cover them with a covering of dugong skin, and shall put them on the bar. And they shall remove the ashes of the altar, and shall spread over it a purple cloth, and shall put on it all its vessels with which they minister around it, the fire pans, the hooks, and the shovels, and the bowls, and the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread a covering of dugong skin on it, and shall put it in its staves. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary, and all the sanctuary vessels, as the camp sets forward, then afterwards the sons of Kohath shall come in to carry. Right. And they shall not touch the holy thing, that they may not die. Whoa! These are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. That's what do they call it, the Ark of the Covenant? That's something they were talking about on that show too, that episode of JRE, that it had, or you know, there's so many stories about it, that potentially having like nuclear power or something, and they literally talked about their stories, that it was probably what powered the pyramids in Giza. Like the main what do you call it, whichever one of the three is the main pyramid, the biggest one. Excuse me. But the Cat Williams was saying something. Man, that dude started alluding to, he was saying that had something to do, that those were power generators or of some kind, but it had something to do with hot springs underneath. And that immediately made me think of nuclear power plants, like the ones we see, the big ones. There was a guy that used to go over, I can't remember his name, like, I always want to say Gail Sayers, but I think that's a football player. I don't know why. It's something like Gail something or something Gail. But he used to go around and like he'd show pictures of him swimming in the nuclear reactors and eating the plutonium or whatever they called it. And what he was basically saying is that those big reactors we see are actually just huge steam, they're like big pots. They're just big steam engines. And that's what they're using to, create power. And that's why you see all this smoke and steam coming out of the top of it. You have to worry about it being toxic because it's just water. It's water that's being treated with different, I think like alkalinities and different whatever, however you handle water, to create like hydrogen or power or whatever they do with it. You know what I mean? Like we got aircraft carriers and things out there in the ocean that never have to refuel. They got ones that take hydrogen right out of the water and just spit the weights back out into the ocean and just never have to come in. You know what I mean? So if they're doing that with boats that size, they've done it with everything. You don't start with a scale that large, You start with, a car or something. There's so many people that have made cars that run off water and they just disappear and die. So, or run out of a restaurant with their hands around their neck, trying to tell their brother that they've just been poisoned by the two guys they met inside. But that's like a really popular story of one of the guys that created a car, went to go talk to some manufacturing people about it at a restaurant, and just moments after their food was served or after they'd sat down, he come running out. His brother was waiting in the car or something. He come running out saying they poisoned me. He dropped dead. He was dead. Guy had a functional car. Recently, I think I've mentioned this in one of these episodes before. Recently, there was a bodyguard of somebody that got killed. Like I can't remember if it was a restaurant or a nightclub, what it was, but they that guy had a YouTube channel. He had just invented a engine that runs off of water, and he like got an award for it. Like it did some ridiculous stuff. It was like super powerful. The thing would drive back and forth across America like 40 times or something off a tank of distilled water. So like it just, yeah. I don't know how I got so far off track here. I don't even remember why I got into this. Let me try and figure out where I am. Don't think I've started talking about ashes yet. Oh boy. Okay, covering of Dagon. I might be going backwards a little bit here and shall put it in its staves. And they shall take all the vessels of the ministry with which they minister in the sanctuary and shall put them into a blue cloth and shall cover them with a covering of dugong skin and they shall put them on the bar. And they shall remove the ashes of the altar and shall spread over it a purple cloth. I think I've already read this. And shall put on it all its vessels with which they minister around it. The fire pans, the hooks, and the shovels, and the bowls, and the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread a covering of dugong skin on it, and they shall put it in its staves. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary, So, this goes on to the, Kohath shall come in to carry, and they shall not touch the holy thing. That's right, I'm sorry for going so far backwards, that they may not die. These are the burdens of the sons of Kohath and the tabernacle of the congregation. So that's where we are right there. And that's where I went off, was with the whole, that they may not die, because that's like the covenant of the ark or whatever. I think it mentions that too, and when it was talking about designing that thing, that it's deadly, you shouldn't screw with it or whatever. But yeah, but they may not die, so the only ones that can handle it are the ones, Moses' sons or whatnot, the ones that Jehovah basically anointed to do so, I guess. That is so wild. That they may not die. Okay. And the oversight of the Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the oil of the lamp, and the sweet incense, and the continual food offering, and the anointing oil. He shall have the charge of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, whether it is the sanctuary or its furniture. I'm going to take a quick break. I can't stop this, because it won't let me, it just kills it, and then I have to clip in another record. It's just a real pain in the butt. I just need to grab a tissue real quick, so just give me 10, 15 seconds. All right, I'm back. Sorry, my nose was just filling up for some reason. I haven't had a problem with it all day. All day, until I just picked this up and started reading it, and my nose just keeps plugging up. Which is weird, too, because I can breathe out of it just fine, but whatever. It's always something. Where was I? Sweet incense, continual food offering. Did I say that? The Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the oil, the lamp, and the sweet incense, and the continual food offering, and the anointing oil. He shall have the charge of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, whether it is the sanctuary or its furniture. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites." Boy, oh boy. But do this to them, and they shall live and not die as they draw near the Holy of Holies. Aaron and his sons shall go in, and shall appoint them each man to his service and to his burden. And they shall not go in to see when the holy thing is covered, that they may not die. So they can't see it. That may not go when the holy thing is covered. So yeah. So they can't be around it until after it's covered up with the purple cloth or whatnot. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Lift the heads of the sons of Gershon also, by their father's house, by their families, from 30 years old and upward. You shall number them until 50 years old, all that enter to wait on the service, to serve in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the duty of the families of the Gershonites in serving and in bearing burdens. They shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle of the congregation, its covering, and the covering of dugong skins that is on its top, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings, why does it say that? Like, that's just a typo. And the hangings of the court, there's an A at the end of the, so it's thea, but it just throws me because it, like I said, the little sentences are, I don't even know, columns of words are really like an inch and a half wide, you know, so the everything's slammed together, and it makes it really weird when they end a word like that, thinking that there's going to be something else that it attaches to, and then there's not, and then you got to go back and kind of like work it out in your brain really, really quick, like, what is this supposed to be? But anyway, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar all around, and their cords, and all the vessels of their service, and whatever there may be to do with them, in this they shall serve, at the mouth of Aaron and of his sons. Excuse me. Now it's not my nose, it's my throat. It just seems to be filling up or getting funny. Where are we? Sorry, I lost this. Whatever there's to do with them, this they shall serve. Okay. Wait a minute. I think I missed something. Nope. There's my the. The gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle, by the altar all around, and their cords, and all the vessels of their service, and whatever there may be to do with them. And this they shall serve. At the mouth of Aaron and of his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, and all their burden, and all their service. And you shall lay a charge on them concerning the duty of all their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of the Gershonites in the tabernacle of the congregation, and their charge is under the hand of Ithamar, a son of Aaron the priest. You shall number the sons of Merari, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who is going into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, the boards of the tabernacle, and its bar, and its pillars, and its sockets, and the pillars of the court all around, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, of all their vessels, and of all their service. And you shall number the vessels of the charge of their burden by name. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, for all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. And Moses and Aaron numbered also the ruler of the congregation, the sons of the Kohathites, by their families and by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who was going into the service, for work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Their numbered ones by their families were 2,750. These are those numbered of the families of the Kohathites, everyone who was serving in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron numbered by the mouth of Jehovah, by the hand of Moses. And those numbered of the sons of Gershon, by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, and everyone who was going into the service for work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those numbered of them, by their families, by their father's house, were 2,630. These were those numbered of the families of the Gershon, everyone who was serving in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the mouth of Jehovah. And those numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who was going into the service for work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even their numbered ones by their families, were 3,200. These were those numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered by the mouth of Jehovah, by Moses' hand. And those numbered, whom Moses and Aaron and the rulers of Israel numbered, of the Levites by their families and by their father's house, from the 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who is going in to do the work of the service, even the service of burdens in the service of burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even their numbered ones were 8,580. One numbered them by the mouth. It doesn't say Moses. Okay. Ones were 8,580. One numbered them by the mouth of Jehovah, by the hand of Moses, each man according to his service and according to his burden. Even they were numbered by him, as Jehovah commanded Moses. Whew. That was a lot. I wonder how many more times they're going to do that. And where is chapter 6? Okay, we'll go to chapter 6. The chapters are getting longer. There's only like, one takes up pretty much 2 pages. But, I mean, that's not a lot of writing when you look at it, because most of the page is taken up in Hebrew, in Greek. So, yeah. All right, chapter 5. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel, and they shall send every leper out of the camp, and everyone with an issue, and everyone defiled by a dead body. Okay, I gotta read that again. And Jehovah spoke to saying, command the sons of Israel that they shall send every leper out of the camp. Okay, I get the lepers. Everyone with an issue. What do you mean? And everyone defiled by a dead body. Does that mean possessed? How can you... But, I mean, it's not... Excuse me. Now I'm gonna get the hiccups. defiled by a dead body, and everyone defiled by a dead body, I'm not saying dead spirit, right, like, if you're possessed or entity, but literally defiled by a dead body. How do you get defiled by a dead body? Does that mean you killed somebody? You have, like, a body on your hand? What does that mean? I'm gonna move on, but that is wild. You shall send out from the male and female, you shall send them to the outside of the camp, and they shall not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. And the sons of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, so the sons of Israel did. Does that mean, like, somebody got a cold sore? They ousted while the big guys around? It just seems the everyone with an issue just seems kind of vague, you know, for who decides what an issue is. I mean, what do they mean? I mean, does that just cover, like, diseases? Does that mean, like, a guy that lost his leg in some unfortunate accident, he got to get out of the camp too? We only want to see, like, perfect human beings for this experience. It just seems weird. I don't know. But the, yeah, Moses. So the sons of Israel did. Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, man or woman, when they commit any of the sins of man by committing a trespass against Jehovah, that person is guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done. And he shall restore his guilt in its principle, and add its fifth to it, and shall give it to him against whom he has been guilty. And if a man has no kinsman to whom the guilty may be restored, the guilt which is restored shall be Jehovah's. A priest, besides the ram of the atonement by which he makes atonement for him." Sorry, I paused right there. I was just kind of wondering. "Confess their sin which they have done, and shall restore his guilt in the principle." Then it says, "And if a man has no kinsman to whom the guilt may be restored." So you killed somebody? You can't just give it to him, so he's gone. So we're talking about, like, you killed somebody. Huh. I mean, that doesn't sound right either, though, because thou shalt not kill, right? Or has that happened yet? I don't think we've done that story. I don't think we have. I have, on my own time. I've watched, like, Ben-Hur's The Ten Commandments, and I've done some other, watched some other stuff. I watched, you know, The Passion of the Christ again. Like, I'm always watching all kinds of, there's that Angel Studios, it has all kinds of shows. So I've seen a bunch of this stuff, and I can't remember if it was covered in what we, I don't think it is. I don't think they talked about that in Exodus, or what, did they? Exodus? Was that leaving? I don't remember reading any stories yet. Everything's just been like a ledger of everyone and everything, and yeah. There goes the fridge. Where was I? Atonement for him. "And every heave offering of all the holy things of the sons of Israel which they bring to the priest shall be his. And any man's dedicated thing shall become his. That which any man gives to the priest becomes his." Okay. All right. "And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, When any man's wife goes astray and has committed a trespass against him, and a man lies with her with semen, and it has been hidden from her husband's eyes, and is kept hidden, and she has been defiled, and there is no witness against her, and she has not been caught, and a spirit of jealousy has passed over him, and he has become jealous of his wife, and she has been defiled, or a spirit of jealousy has passed over him, and he has become jealous of his wife, and she has not become defiled, then the man shall bring his wife into the priest, and he shall bring in her offering for her, a tenth of an ephah of barley meal, an ephah, don't know what that is, an ephah, we're going to go with that, of barley meal. He shall not pour oil on it, nor shall he make frankincense on it." You would put frankincense on? "For it is a food offering of jealousy, a food offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near, and shall cause her to stand before Jehovah. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel. And the priest shall take of the dust, which is on the tabernacle floor, and shall put it into the water. And the priest shall cause the woman to stand before Jehovah, and shall uncover the woman's head, and shall give into her hand the food offering of memorial. It is a food offering of jealousy, and in the priest's hand shall be the bitter waters which cause the curse." Just real quick, I want to go back, because I'm going to get so far away from this that I'm not going to remember. But it's weird that they said, "And a man lies with her with semen." So, if there's no semen involved, is she not defiled? Do you see what I'm saying? If a man lies with her with semen, like, in the with is even, the, what do you call it? The font's a little different than the rest of the font. It's leaning to the right, whereas everything else is straight. It's actually the only word like that on this page that I could see. So it's like emphasizing the word with semen. You know what I mean? Like, the semen's gotta be there. Or maybe that lean, I don't know, I haven't seen anything that says that a leaning word like that is just a guess word or something like that. I know I've seen them before. Like, shall be And the last thing, those lean like that. A lot of times the word it will lean like that. So I'm wondering if that just means they're not 100% positive on that being exactly what that means. Lies with her. If that with isn't there, then it's just lies with her semen. I guess I could go over and look at where they're translating it from, but we'll just move on. This I could spend a bit of time on this, but I don't know why it matters to me. I mean, to me, cheating's cheating, whether there's semen involved or not, you know. That's just ruining the relationship anyway, so. Anyway, let's get back into how she gets punished or healed or whatever they're going to do to her for it. And shall be bitter waters which cause the curse, and the priest shall cause her to swear and shall say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not turned aside to if you have not turned aside to impurity, the letters are so close together that it was hard to tell what that word was, but it's impurity. If you have not turned aside to impurity under your husband, be free from these bitter waters which cause the curse. And you, if you have turned aside under your husband, and if you have been defiled, and any man besides your husband has given his semen to you. So, in the first thing, it doesn't say semen. Like when they're saying if you didn't do it, they don't even mention the semen. But in this one, again, they make sure to say the word semen. Like, has given his semen to you, like he has climaxed inside of you. Then the priest shall cause the woman to wear with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say to the woman, Jehovah shall make you a curse and an oath among your people. When Jehovah makes your shall make a curse and an oath among your people. When Jehovah makes your thigh to fall away and your belly to swell, and these waters which cause the curse shall go into your bowels to cause the belly to swell and the thigh to fall, and the woman shall say, Amen, Amen. Or amen, amen. It's A-M-E-N. I've always wondered about that. Is it amen or amen? Did they say amen back then? And then I heard something else that amen was actually like somebody back in Egyptian times. So when you're saying amen, you might be praying to that person? I don't know. I've just been going, cause amen or amen, but either one is supposed to just mean so be it. So I've just been going with so be it, you know? I speak English anyway. Why pretend at the very end of the damn prayer that I know some other language, you know? I'll just stick to what I know. But also because I'm confused. I'm confused over whether it's amen or amen and whether or not there was somebody named Amen that in like Egyptian times that this might have something to do with. I think it had something to do with the Emerald Tablets was talking about it. I think Billy Carson was talking about it. I seen a clip on another guy's show that shows clips of TikTok on YouTube. Moving on, sorry. I think we're on verse 23 here. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and shall blot them with the bitter waters, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter waters which cause the curse. And the waters which cause the curse shall enter into her for bitter things. And the priest shall take the food offering of jealousy out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the food offering before Jehovah, and shall bring it near to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the food offering, its memorial, and shall burn it as incense on the altar. And afterward, he shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he shall cause her to drink the water, then it shall be, if she has been defiled and has committed a trespass against her husband, the waters which cause the curse shall go into her for bitter things, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall fall away. And the woman, her thigh shall fall away. What does that mean? And the woman shall become a curse in the midst of her people. And if the woman has not been defiled and is pure, then she shall be clean and shall conceive seed. So she's going to have a baby? Does it mean that she has one right then? This is the law of the jealousies. When a wife turns aside under her husband and has been defiled, when a spirit of jealousy passes over a man and he has become jealous of his wife, then he shall cause the woman to stand before Jehovah, and the priest shall do to her all this law, and the man shall be clean from sin, and the woman shall bear her iniquity. We're over to chapter 6. They didn't mention a dang thing about guys cheating on their wives, though, did they? Didn't even, like, allude to it. this is all just if the woman does this, this is what we're going to do to her. So if the woman astray goes, like, there's not even a thought that a guy would go astray, almost, you would think, with that. Now, I say that, but maybe, you know, going into chapter 6 here, it's going to explain itself. In fact, you know what? I think I'm going to read chapter 6. It actually isn't as long. It ends before the end of the next page, and chapter 7 already starts, so I'm curious. I got to know now. So chapter 6, and Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, when a man or a woman shall vow the special vow of a Nazarite to be separated to Jehovah, he shall separate from wine and fermented drink, and shall not drink vinegar of wine or vinegar of fermented drink, and he shall not drink any juice of the grapes, and he shall not eat dry or moist grapes. All the days of his separation he shall not eat from all that is made of the vine, from pressed grapes, even to the grape stone. All the days of the vow of his separation, a razor shall not pass over his head. He shall be holy until all the days are fulfilled, which he has separated to Jehovah. He shall allow the locks of the hair of his head to grow long. All the days of his separation to Jehovah, he shall not go near a dead person. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister at their death, because his separation to his God is on his head. What? All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to Jehovah. And if any man dies very suddenly beside him, and he defiles his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day he shall shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest." Why would you defile the head? Why would you defile a consecrated head? What do they mean? Like, just people cutting it off and then putting it on a pike? What does that even mean? "Pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall prepare one for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering, and shall make atonement for him, because he sinned by reason of the dead body. And he shall dedicate his head on that day, and he shall consecrate to Jehovah the days of his Nazariteship, and shall bring a he lamb of the first year for a guilt offering." "But the former days shall be void, for his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the one shall bring him into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, he shall offer his offering to Jehovah, one he lamb of the first year, a perfect one, for a burnt offering, and one she lamb, a yearling, a perfect one, for a sin offering, and one ram, a perfect one, for a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened cakes, of flour cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and their food offering, and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before Jehovah, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering, and he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering to Jehovah, with the basket of unleavened cakes. And the priest shall offer its food offering and its drink offering." So offer its. Yeah, I guess that's what it says. "And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, and shall put it on the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the boiled shoulder from the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them on the palms of the Nazarite after he has shaved his separation. And the priest shall wave them, a wave offering before Jehovah. It is holy to the priest, besides the breast of it is holy to the priest, besides the breast of the wave offering, and besides the leg of the heave offering, and afterward the Nazarite shall drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who vows his offering to Jehovah for his separation, besides that which his hand may get, according to his vow, which he vows, so he shall do by the law of his separation. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, In this way you shall bless the sons of Israel, saying to them, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his face to you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the sons of Israel, and I myself will bless them." That's the end of chapter 6. That was a lot of killing. right? It just nonstop. I don't, it's weird to me that to make good on something you've done bad, some animal's got to lose its life. I just, that is weird to me. I don't, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not going to talk bad about the Bible. I don't, I mean, I don't know. It's, things were so different back then. But I mean, I don't, how different are they now? They do a lot of sacrifices of animals over in like Israel, and kosher food means, you know, allegedly that this has happened to the animal, that half of it's been offered, and that it's kosher now, and it's been blessed by a rabbi or whatnot, and it's safe to eat, or something like that. I'm not positive that's the exact way that goes, but it's something along those lines. Google kosher and what it means. You'll see what I'm saying. But that's just a lot of, just a lot of killing. Just a lot of killing. I don't understand how killing innocent animals somehow makes up for you cutting the head off of a dead person, and I don't even know, parading around with it, defiling it. What are you doing with it? What is going on? What, how often was this going on that we had to mention this? This had to be one of the laws. Like, the women are cheating, not the guys. We're not worried about that. I really expected it to say something like that, but it did not. I got super confused about what it did say, because they talk about, you know, taking the special vow of a Nazirite to be separated to Jehovah. And I mean, you're not drinking that. I don't even understand what that means. And what does it mean? Because he keeps mentioning when you're, you shall do by the law of his separation. Are you separated from everybody else and you're with Jehovah, or are you separated from Jehovah and that's why you have to do these offerings? I'm so confused. I expect plenty more confusion though. I'm really hoping. I heard the old, you know, the Holy Bible was going to be confusing. I'm hoping that the New Testament is a lot less confusing, that it's more just kind of story driven. Even if it gets repetitive, because I know there's going to be parts where certain people are, or multiple people, I should say, are telling the same story. So it's going to get repeated. But even then, you're repeating, you're just telling a story. It gets weird here when you're basically recounting a ledger. It's kind of what I feel like I'm doing for a lot of this. I'm just recounting. It's like I'm reading some accountant's book, you know? For different things, or you know, like God, I don't even know what they'd call that, a chore book, in a way, as well as you're being taught in a sense how to set up and do these things, what you need to offer, stuff like how to make an altar. I mean, it taught us a lot up to this point. It has taught us a lot. I don't know that you could do a lot of it nowadays. I think I've said that already. Like, I think a lot of this stuff, if you did today and your neighbor called the cops, you would very likely have a charge. Especially, I mean, I don't know though. I don't know what the laws are, if there's anything in the laws to cover religion when it comes to like killing animals for burnt offerings, you know? That was me just pulling out a pen so I could mark down what chapter I'm on to put on the bookmark to stick in the book, so it's ready when I stick it back. But anyway, that's wild. And yeah, we'll be picking this back up, my mumbling confusion and what the Bible says in a, God, I can't even think of where we are right now. That's how my brain is so dead. Numbers, chapter 7. All right. Have a great day. Be with God.